Bleed Red.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of Poorly Read at the Movies.
Yeah, the podcast where we say funny things about things that are maybe not funny.
That might be the most perfectly succinct description of our podcast we've ever given.
Yeah, baby. Anyway, for now, what film are we talking about today, Thomas?
Fucking Tales of Smush.
Yeah.
Papier-mâché. Story.
Papier-mâché story. What is stories in French?
Histoire.
What?
Histoire, like the same word as history.
Oh, histoire. So papier-mâché histoire. Or will it be histoire papier-mâché?
Yeah, probably histoire du papier-mâché.
Yeah, fuck it all. That backwards bullshit, just say it the right way.
Fucking foreigners.
Oh, God.
Anyway, it's Pulp Fiction, if that wasn't clear.
Yeah, Pulp Fiction. Dun, dun, dun. They're riding in the car, shooting things.
Shooting guys' heads by accident.
Yeah, they do kill someone by accident, but you interrupted my song. I'm not appreciative of that.
So. Oh, I'm sorry, mate.
From this point onwards, I'll never do a song again.
Oh, I was trying to join in with your song.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awkward, isn't it?
It is awkward.
Fuck.
It's about as awkward as the fact that Uma Thurman could only act good in Quentin Tarantino films. Which means she needs hard direction.
I don't know if I've ever seen her in anything else.
I've seen her in quite a few other things, and she's like fine sometimes and then terrible in others. So she's only actually good in Quentin Tarantino films. Yeah. Alas. But yeah, amazing movie, I think. Amazing movie. Some things I'm not comfortable with anymore that I used to be, but on the whole, I'm like, yeah, this film fucking rocks.
Yeah, it's a very good film.
Yeah. What didn't I like? I hate the Quentin Tarantino, because I used to think, oh man, but it's part of the script. I hate the Quentin Tarantino thinks it's so okay to let white people so casually use the N-word in this film. When yeah. It's not like contextually appropriate, I feel. And I remember that Spike Lee has always had that opinion. He's always thought it's wrong. And I was always like, oh man, but it's part of the script, blah, blah, blah. But now watching it again, I was like, I feel uncomfortable watching this with Quentin Tarantino saying this for no reason.
Yeah, exactly. I do agree. And then I feel like that's kind of the idea. But then I'm like, well, why is that the idea? I don't know that it really adds all that much. I don't know that the audience really needs to feel uncomfortable at that point in that way for that reason.
That's what I mean. Like, and I don't think it was the point at the time. I think it was just like him thinking he was being cool writing his thing. Because I think he very much has this thing that what he does is his art and no one can tell him any different kind of thing. And when I've seen him in interviews, he's very much had that kind of attitude. And he's obviously very good at what he does. But yeah, I just feel like, obviously it was a different time, but I feel like that wouldn't fly now.
No.
For sure. But yeah, anyway, fucking hell. Should we start? Should we start like a car engine that's been revved up, the key put into... What'd you put it into? Is it first gear?
Yeah. If you want to go forwards, yeah. Which direction do we want to go?
Oh, God. Which direction do we want to go? Let's just put it straight into fifth and see what happens.
Ah, stall.
Yeah. Like, oh, fuck. And then the person behind you crashes into you. And then... I was going to reference a really bad advert then. I thought, nah, because what if someone's had like first experience of that? I don't want to bring back bad memories. But it was that advert. Do you remember it's that advert where the mum is picking up the kids from school and the boy in the back seat is not wearing his seatbelt? And then the car has to suddenly stop and he goes flying forward and knocks his head into the back of his mum's head. And then she flies forward and it kills her.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he just like broken his nose, but his sister's in the front seat, AC, and she's just like, ah.
Yeah, and even at the time, I remember thinking, fuck, man, has that boy got like a metal plate in his head or something?
I think it was that, because didn't she hit her head on the steering wheel or something after that?
Maybe. I don't know. We're now talking about it at length.
Yeah. Yeah, so wear your seatbelt, Pulp Fiction.
Yes, put your seatbelt on now.
Yeah, because we're going on a ride. A ride of violence.
A violent ride.
A violent ride.
And we're going in some direction, maybe forwards, maybe backwards, maybe stalling and crashing, having someone crash into the back of us. Either way, if you're wearing your seatbelt, you'll be just fine.
Yes. Unless you desperately hate your mother. Anyway, fucking hell, we're in a diner and a man whose name is Tim Roth and a woman who I don't know her name, unfortunately.
No.
But she's called Honey Bunny in the movie.
Yeah, Honey Bunny. Yeah, no, we're never doing it again. What we've been doing. Banks is easier than what we've been doing.
Yeah, let's rob this restaurant, but only of its ingredients.
I want to make an omelette. But one with everything.
But no, we're talking about that. You know, you should rob a restaurant and not a bank, because fucking hell, like, there's so much at restaurants. There's food and there's wallets.
Yes.
In fact, why don't we abandon this plan? Just open our own restaurant and call it Food and Wallets.
Come for the food, leave your wallet.
Yeah. Yeah. We give you like a fun wallet at the start and you put how much money you're willing to spend in it. And then
we take your other wallet with all the rest of your money in it.
Yes. And then you're like, yeah, but what about all my money? You're like, well, you felt comfortable spending that amount here. So obviously that's all you need in life. God be with you. But anyway, they're like, right, should we do it? Should we fucking hold this place up? And she's like, yeah, let's fucking do it, man.
I'm ready. Let's do it.
So they stand up. He goes, I've already been called. This is a robbery. And she's like, any of you fucking pricks move and I'll execute every motherfucking last one of you. Pulp Fiction. An age restriction is on this film. I'm sure it was an 18. I still agree with that classification. Yeah, they'll be fucking cut to John Travolta and Samuel Jackson riding in their car, talking about Amsterdam and Europe.
Yeah, and hamburgers.
Yeah, hamburger. Hamburger helper. Which is an American thing. I really don't know what it means yet.
I don't know what it means. I've heard it, but I don't know what it is.
Same. Write in and tell us, but don't. Yeah, but they're saying, like, yeah, man, so in France, they call it a Royale with cheese.
In Netherlands, they call it a Dutch muffin.
Oh, is that a sex reference?
No, I don't know. Oh.
Oh, what would you like to do today, darling? I want to try the Dutch muffin. What is that? Well, it's when I put my penis in between your bum cheeks, and then I will sprinkle cinnamon over it. See how long I can hold it there before the burn becomes too much. And when it does become too much, you have to quickly turn around and suck it off. And she's like, this sounds fun for no one. He's like, it's the Dutch way. Nah. They call it the Dutch Muffin Challenge. We'll put it on YouTube.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Don't make me put you back in one of those street corner windows.
I'm paying you good money for this. I'm paying you exactly 25 euros. And she's like, I can't really do much with that. Like, well, you could go into a Lidl and you could buy 25 bags of Haribo. That'll keep you happy for at least 3 hours before you have to return to your sex work and wish that you completed your nursing degree.
Yeah.
Anyway. No, but they're talking about fucking burgers and shit, and they're like, yeah, man, like, they put mayonnaise on chips in somewhere. Where is it? Denmark?
In Amsterdam.
In Amsterdam. It's all about Amsterdam.
Yeah.
Yeah. The city of shining lights.
Is that Amsterdam?
No, that's Paris.
Ah, it's all the European cities.
Yeah, they're both sitting in that car. And then Samuel Jackson's like, man, I could never do what what's his name did to Mia Wallace's feet. And he's like, oh, but you already did.
Don't you remember, Sam?
If you want this life, those choices are necessary. And Vivian's like, man, motherfucker, what if I don't want this? And then John Travolta's like, man, don't be ridiculous. Everybody wants this. Everybody wants to be us. But he puts on his sunglasses, steps up the car, and he's run over by a pedestrian.
You just run over by a pedestrian?
Yeah. So fuck it, I was walking fast. So yeah, we fucking open, they open up the trunk, get out some guns, like, man, we should have got a shotgun for this. So then they're walking up the stairs to this apartment building. And they're talking about this guy, like, what is his name? Atticus?
Tony Rocky Horror.
Antoine, that's it. Antoine, Tony Rocky Horror.
Yeah, because John Travolta's got to go and take care of Marcellus Wallace, their boss's wife, for an evening. Yeah.
And Antoine had been thrown off of a balcony for apparently rubbing Mia Wallace's feet.
Hmm.
And Samuel Jackson is like,
shit, man, I give my mother a foot massage.
Yeah, man, I give her a foot massage. I move my hands up. I rub her thigh. Man, sometimes I need to. I just go all the way. Just bob that fist, plunge it in, give it a little turn, pull it out.
I'd love to see how close I can get to going back to where I came from.
Yeah, sometimes I just want to get right back in there, especially on Easter, so I can be born again like Jesus. Last time I tried it, he killed her. We don't talk about that anymore.
Less resistance next time.
But yeah, they're like, one of them is like, look, I think that's a bit of an overreaction. And then the other one's like, I don't think it is, though. I think Samuel thinks it's an overreaaction, and then John Travolta's like, I don't... Like, that's
pretty intimate. Yeah, because Sam Jackson's like, he's all like, yeah, foot massage don't mean nothing. And John Travolta was like, hey, man, I'm saying it does. There's an energy, and you know it, and she knows it. We don't talk about it, but that's why it's cool.
Yeah. A foot massage and going... He, like, compares it to, like, licking someone out.
Yeah. And Sam Jackson's like, no, hold on, motherfucker. Touching a lady.
I give my damn mother a foot massage.
I give my mother a foot massage. He's like, I didn't ask about your mother, man. Why you keep bringing it up?
I just need you to know how much I love my mom. Yeah. I love her so much.
Let me go. I'll be right back. I'm going to go get my mother a foot massage.
Yeah. Do you know what? I might even pick up a Kodak camera on the way so I can take some photographs so you can see how innocent it looks. And when he brings it back, when he gives the roll of film to John, John develops it 5 days later and he's shocked and horrified by everything he sees. He's like, holy shit, man, they look so much alike. But yeah, they show up at the house of these young guys who... I think the deal is that they... Do they owe Marcellus money as well as something else? Or they were just meant to give him this briefcase they have earlier?
Yeah, we don't really find out the details. It's all left kind of vague. Like, they had an arrangement with Marcellus that involved them getting the briefcase to him, and they flaked on it.
Right, okay.
I think that's all we know.
Right. So yeah, he comes in and it's these, like, college age guys eating like burger and fries at like 7:25 in the morning.
Big Kahuna burger.
Yeah, it's like, this tasty. Can I have a bite? Can I have a sip of your lovely beverage? And the guy's like, yeah, of course. He's like, cool. Do you mind if I spit back down the straw and give you some of my cooties?
I got the new disease.
I got the new disease. They said if I spit 6 pints of it in there. I tell you what, let me cut my hand, squeeze it over your burger, give it that extra special sauce. And I want you to take a huge bite right in front of me. If you do that, I'll give you a foot massage. And the guy's like, what?
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 Nothing.
And then he's like, say what again, motherfucker. And anyway, there's like a stoner on the couch who's like, man, the thing is in the cupboard in the kitchen.
And he's like, I don't recall asking you a goddamn thing.
Okay. Yes. And then he's like, but now you've spoken, let me ask you something else.
Yeah, but wait, no, where is it? Where's the thing?
Yeah, where's the thing? Tell me again. Tell me again in explicit directions. Tell me again as if this whole place was mapped out like a Monopoly board. And he's like, okay, I guess that if you go to Park Lane and open the cupboard that would be there, but make sure you don't land on emergency tags. He's like, then you find the briefcase. And they find the briefcase. And the
he's
briefcase
referencing the English there. Monopoly for some reason.
Oh, fuck yeah. What would the American Monopoly be?
I have no idea.
Pulp Fiction Monopoly.
Do not pass go. Do not give your mother foot massage.
Yeah, and I guess like one of the cards would be like, you accidentally OD'd. Go back to like a fucking... the dealer's house, I guess.
Yeah.
What would jail be?
Just jail.
Yeah, I guess so.
Or maybe it would be like Zed's dungeon.
Yeah, and then the transports would be the car that they drive, the taxi that Bruce Willis gets in later, the motorbike, obviously, and then...
maybe Harvey Keitel's stupid car.
Yeah.
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 Go okay. On.
Yeah. Fucking hell, let's go with that. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, fucking Samuel Jackson shoots the stoner guy to just prove how serious he's being. And obviously everyone has a bit of a meltdown. But yeah, fucking hell, Samuel Jackson just says like, is Marcellus Wallace a bitch? And then the guy's like, what?
Is it what?
Is Marcellus Wallace a bitch? B-I-T-C-H. A female dog. In season.
In heat, motherfucker.
Yeah. Then why are you trying to fuck him like a bitch?
Are you a dog, Brett?
Yeah. Are you the tramp from Lady and the Tramp? Is that what you are?
You think Marcellus Wallace wants to eat spaghetti with you, motherfucker?
Yeah. but he shoots the guy, basically.
Yeah, after doing his whole Bible extract.
Yeah, Ezekiel something something.
Yeah.
Anyway, fucking hell, we cut to Bruce Willis in a club talking to Marcellus Wallace.
Yeah.
And Marcellus Wallace is like, okay, so I've got a Charizard, a Mewtwo, and a Clefairy. And Bruce Willis is like, all I've got is an Eevee. And he's like, I tell you what, come back when that's a Flareon and maybe we can have a conversation.
But you ain't having my Charizard, like, bitch.
Yeah, 3 years after right now, this Charizard is worth £50, and you ain't worth shit.
You old as fuck.
Yeah, you old as fuck, you bald as me. Let's start up a sitcom called Bald as Fuck, or Black Bald Fuckers. Black and White Bald Fuckers. Bald Fuckers, colon, Black and White.
And it's just us getting raped by a different crooked cop every week.
No, but Marcellus wants him to... Bruce Willis is a boxer, and Marcellus wants him to go down on purpose in a boxing match in the 5th round.
Wants him to go down on him under the table. In the 5th, your ass goes down.
In the fifth, I want you to put your hands up. Make everyone in the crowd go silent. I want you to take 5 paces over to your competitor. I want you to slowly ease his trunks down. And I want you to fillet him right there in front of everyone. If you can get him to completion, I will give you $26 million. If you can't, I will shoot you in the head.
And that's the end of my sentence.
Yeah.
Even though it sounded like it wasn't gonna be.
But yeah, so they agree on the terms and conditions, and then like Samuel L. Jackson and John Travolta in different get-ups show up at the bar as well.
Dorky clothes.
Yeah, which we come to find out that this takes place like, is it later in the film or earlier in the film? Later in the film.
Yeah.
But like at much later. Yeah, because if we haven't said so, the all the like sort of like vignettes of this film are they're not in what's that word?
Chronological, sequential.
Yeah, they're not in chronological order. So this like the diner scene we see at the beginning is actually the end of the film.
Well, not chronologically.
No, not chronologically. It's not, is it? It's
like in the middle.
Yeah.
In fact, it's before this current scene. It's where Samuel L. Jackson and John have just come from.
Yes, yeah, you're right. Oh, God. Just has so many things to keep up with. We cut to the next day and fucking John Travolta is at his dealer's house because he's buying heroin.
Yes, from Ginge, presume is his name.
Yeah, Ginge.
Ginge McMinn.
Comma. Ginge the Minge, brackets, I was in Back to the Future for a hot minute. Before I got fired and replaced with Michael J. Fox.
Really?
Yeah, he was in it for like, well, he did like 6 weeks of shooting and then for whatever reason, like his chemistry on screen just like wasn't working. So they just fired him and replaced him with Michael J. Fox.
And now I'm selling heroin.
Yeah.
To John Travolta.
Hmm. Now I'm selling heroin and now Marty McFly has Parkinson's disease. So who won in the end? But yeah, he's like, man, this shit I've got is 500 for like 30 grams or whatever, or 300 grams or whatever. But this is the real shit, man. This should get you fucked up like a giraffe who's just fucking sat on an anthill. And John Travolta's like, that's for me. So he buys it, fucking takes it on his way to Mia's place because he's taking Mia out on a friendly date while Marcellus is out on business.
Yeah, goes to pick her up while he's off his tits.
Then he arrives and Mia talks to him from her control room, which I think is like a meant to... I've never understood what this place was, why she had it, but I guess maybe it's like a panic room that's like built into her apartment.
Yeah, or just her own little sort of boudoir space, like, and that she can just talk to people from if she wants.
Yeah, but why would anyone have that? I'd, like, to me, watch it now, it seems like she had it because she was Marcellus's wife, so she was ever in danger. She could go hide in there.
Maybe, but I think it seems to me like it was more frivolous than that. Like, that it's, you know, it's a power thing. Like, she wants to be the voice. Because it's cool. I think she just has it because it's cool. Because she likes it.
Okay.
Rich drug lords' wives do frivolous things with money.
Yes. Like have a control room and have a pet Armenian. Anyway, so she talks through the thing and then he's like, hey, I'm here. Da, 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 da. She's like, yeah, I'll be out in 2 shakes of a lamb's tail. Just make yourself comfortable. So he does. She does a line of coke and then she comes out. And she's like, I'm ready to go. She's like, baby, I'm ready to go.
not to any particular melody or anything. She just says it.
Yeah. He's like, you're weird. And she eventually starts crying. And then he's like, in tears. And then she walks back to the panic room. And then he's like, ah, oh, you were so near. Now you're so far away. But they jump in the car and they go to Jackrabbit Slims.
Jackrabbit Slims.
Yes. Or what else could you call it?
Slackjabbit Rims.
Slackjabbit Rims. Yeah. Okay. What would that icon look like? all of the things flashing through my mind are just really awful, like racist, like 1930s caricatures. But yeah, they get a seat at one of the tables that's like a car booth. It's like an old timey diner kind of themed thing. It's like, ooh, I would love to go to a place like that.
Yeah, I think I'd quite like it as well.
But then they start talking to him about shit, and then Mia starts talking about the failed pilot that she was in. Spice Force 5. But no, a pilot called Fox Force 5, which is parodied in Spice World the movie as Spice Force 5.
Huh.
Yeah, Spice Force 5. And they basically do all the same things, apart from they don't.
I thought there was more to that.
Well, no, because in the Spice World movie, like, Mel B's like a demolition expert, but she blows up the wrong building. Emma's a kung fu expert. Jerry is a master of disguise and she transforms into Bob Hoskins. Mel C is an espionage agent. And then Victoria is just Victoria, and she's just stood in front of two Rolls Royces and then just points at the camera and winks. And it's like, wow. Ah, Spice Girls. Anyway, yeah, she's like, yeah, Fox Force 5, there's all these things, and I would have been a knife specialist. And my gimmick would be that each episode, I take a different knife and I do a new trick with it.
And I make a new hole in myself.
Yeah. By the end of it, they were going to call me Swiss Cheese McGee. Alas, we only did that one episode, only made one hole.
Yeah, I'll show you it. I'll show you it.
Yeah. So she lifts up her shirt and she's just a gaping fucking wound in her side where her pancreas used to be. And she's like, I have to carry an insulin needle with me everywhere I go, but it was worth it.
Yeah, there were no special effects on that show. They really made me stab myself.
It was hard, but it was worth it. Because I was going to be an actress. And then they sort of go into like a silence thing. And then she's like, don't you love something about a comfortable silence? And he's like, but yeah, and then Mia's like, I'm going to go to the bathroom and powder my nose. And she goes there and does coke. And it's like every single other woman around the sink is also doing coke. And it's like, fucking hell, like.
Are they? It looks like they were just doing their makeup and just didn't give a shit that she was doing coke, which I always thought was kind of weird. That she was just doing it in front of everyone.
Yeah, that is weird. Like, why wouldn't you just not go? Like, maybe she just doesn't care. She's like, fuck it, I'm Marcellus Wallace's wife.
Yeah, what are these bitches going to do?
Yeah, what are you going to do?
They all shuffle out of the bathroom in silence.
Yeah, she's like, no, come back. There's four of you here. There's one of me here. I used to be in a pilot, you see. It was called Fox Force 5. Now, there's four of you and there's one of me. So that makes five of us. That means that we can all have a special skill. I can snort coke. What can you do? I can have a very heavy flow sometimes on my period. Perfect. We'll make you the pain specialist. What can you do? I can smell asbestos. Good. We'll make you the person we send in first, just so none of us get cancer. What about you, little one? What can you do? She's like, I'm just here with my mom. She's like, you're useless to me. She shoots from the forehead. Is there one more left?
Yeah, she says.
Let me see one just like hiding behind one of the other ones. She's like, I can see you. She's like, no.
I'm a master of disguise.
Yes, look, I covered myself in paper towels. Now I just look like, I guess, a clogged toilet that has come to life. She's like,
it's perfect.
Yes, if we ever go anywhere that has a bathroom, we can use you as a scare tactic. Great, now let's all get these tattoos, and we've all got to wear special headbands.
Come on, little girl. And she drags her corpse along.
And red lipstick. Everyone put it on. Look, just because you've got a bullet hole in your head and you're 5 years old doesn't mean you can't put on your own lipstick. Anyway, I'm bored of this now. I'm going, bye. And she just walks out while everyone's like mid like lipstick. Like, oh, I was really excited for that.
Gets back and is all like, oh, don't you love it when your food arrives when you're in the bathroom?
Yeah. Which is actually really awesome when that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ah, eating out. And like Samuel Jackson pops up and he's like, it's just like a foot massage. Anyway, fucking Jack Rabbit Slim comes on stage and is like, let's have a dance competition. Anyone want to do it? And Mia's like, we do. So then they dance on the stage.
Yeah, and I can only assume they must have been the only contestants in that competition.
Yeah, because they fucking won it.
Yeah. Somehow.
And it was like, this is the worst dancing I've maybe ever seen.
It's super weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, I find it quite charming to watch in a weird way, but it's not like good dancing.
Anyway, so fucking, they go back to her place. Vincent goes to the luge. He's wearing his jacket. And she finds the ball of heroin in his fucking pocket. And she
thinks yeah, it's coke. Because it's the white stuff. It's the good stuff.
Yeah, she snorts it. And then she goes, oh no.
Oh no, my brain.
My fucking brain's fizzing. Yeah. And then...
it's fucking bleeding. Out the nose.
I'm kind of being sick all down me plows. Yeah, she fucking ODs. So John, like, puts her in the car, drives to his dealer's house. And he's like, we need to fucking to fix this, man. And his dealer is like, get the fuck out of here.
Get the fuck out of here, yo.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here. Did you know I used to be in Back to the Future? And then he's like, did you know that this is Marcellus Wallace's wife?
Marcellus Wallace's wife.
Yes, Marcellus Wallace's.
Do you know who Marcellus Wallace's is? Yes, as I do.
Unfortunately, I do. He was key grip on Back to the Future. He was the reason I lost my job. So I do not want to help his wife, but now I know what he does for a living currently, I will help his wife. So they bring her inside, and then they fucking searching for the adrenaline shot and yeah. The nurse's handbook. And they're like, where's the fucking nurse's handbook? And then the guy's like wife is like, I don't fucking know where it fucking is. Why are you fucking doing it? And Vince's like, just fucking tell me. She's like, fuck, if the fuck that man fucking is. And like, okay, take two. Can you say the dialogue and try and not swear?
Or just at the very least say some real words.
Yeah, they're like, okay. Take two. And action. Oh man, have you seen my little fucking nurse's book? What fucking little nurse's book? What the fuck? Okay, yeah. We can fix this in post.
Let's just skip straight to sticking the needle in her chest.
Yes, let's just say he had the needle and he knows what to do. Which apparently he does, because like, it comes with like a leaflet, so... But yeah, they have to, he's like, he gives it to John and he's like, we've got to find the direct place where her heart is, and then we've got to get it through the breastplate into her heart. She's got to stab really hard.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh man. So they go, okay, 3, 2, 1. Then he plunges forward, but then he accidentally put it into her clitoris and he's like, damn it.
Works though.
Sorry, I had other things on my mind. But look, she's coming round.
So, woo!
And then she falls back down again and she dies completely. And they're like, oh, well, we tried. Unless you got another adrenaline shot hanging around here. It's like, no, that's my only one.
Why the fuck is such a bitch? Get the fucking adrenaline shot.
What are we gonna do with a fucking dead fucking Uma Thurman in my fucking living room, fucking man? Man, I guess just like hide her in the freezer. I mean, okay, I mean, we'll have to, like, defrost the steaks we were going to have for Thanksgiving, but I guess it's worth it to not get in trouble.
I guess we could have her for Thanksgiving instead.
Yeah, if we just shave her hair, take off her clothes, have a leg each, maybe dispose of the torso. It's where all the heroin is.
Keep her feet, though.
Yeah, we gotta keep the feet.
Gotta give her a foot massage.
Okay, do you mean a foot massage or a foot massage? Whichever you are, babies, Thanksgiving. Anyway, no, they fucking get it in her heart. She wakes up instantly and she's like, what the fuck? And then she's fine. Then he gets her back home. And then they sort of like agree, look, like, let's never mention this to anyone again. It's our little secret.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
And then she tells him her joke.
Because her gag thing when she was in Fox Force 5 was she had a joke every week. And then she tells the joke and it's like, oh, God, I didn't need this in the script. She tells a joke and then John Travolta says that was shit. And that's why you got fired after 6 weeks on Back to the Future. And she's like, oh, yeah, you're right. Anyway, fuck it all. And then so now we cut to Butch as a kid, who is Bruce Willis.
Yes, a kid watching TV. And none other than Christopher Walken arrives.
And he's like, hey, I come to give you something, man. Come to give you this watch. This watch is a very special watch. It used to belong to a kid called Bernard, but he's dead now because I shot him in the forehead. But I come to give it to you because I thought no man of my age should have this much power. So let me tell you about this watch. Every time you press the button on the side, the world stops. And you can do whatever you want. Bernard only uses it to do stupid things like paint houses and help people. I want you to use it to do bad things. All kinds of bad things.
Terrible things, Butch. Put things in my ass.
Yeah, put things in my ass, take it out again, press a button on the watch, I've been none the wiser. All I think is, ooh, I got a bee sting in my ass. It wasn't a bee sting, you put a candelabra up there. But it's okay, I won't find out till later.
Do you understand me, Butch? It's what your daddy would have wanted.
It's what your daddy would have wanted. Also, I want you to stop it and go look at your mama when she's taking her shower. I want you to memorize those memories.
Bring your easel and paper. Make a sketch, Butch.
Yeah, but make sure she's missing one leg in the sketch. That'll become important later. Well, like 4 years from now. But actually, it was 100 years ago. Do you see what I'm saying, Butch?
So Christopher Walken does this whole spiel about his ass watch.
Yeah, it's like, Dad put this in his ass to look after it, and then I put it in my ass when your dad died. Now I come to give it to you.
Yeah, I've come to put it in your ass.
Yeah. Bend over. Your mama's bringing out the Crisco. But then fucking adult Butch wakes up from what I assume was a dream about his dad's watch.
His dream about his dad's ass.
Yeah, dad's ass.
Did you remember to bring my dad's ass? It was on the little kangaroo.
Yeah, he's in his dressing room getting ready to head out for his big match. And he's like... And then we cut to... Is it like a radio announcement?
Yeah, of like they think he killed him. He didn't go down on him after all.
No. And fucking Butch, like, gets out of there straight away, jumps in a taxi.
With a sexy taxi driver called Esmeralda Villalobos.
I found her fucking annoying.
Oh, really? I think I love her.
Everything about her, I was just like, oh, God. I can't stand you.
No, I was like, oh, yeah, she a freak.
No, I was just like, because everything she said was, Butch. What does this mean, Butch? My name means Cosmic Interstellar Spaghetti Monster. What does yours mean? And he's like, oh, we're in America, baby. Our names mean fuck all. I was just like, oh, God. But yeah, like, he finds out that the other guy died on the radio. And he's like, oh, man, I didn't mean to kill him.
Oh, no.
Yeah, man, I just meant to give him the best blowjob of his life. I didn't know it'd be so good that his heart would give out. And he would crumple into like a pile of skin on the stage. Alas. But also, it could have been the punch to the head I gave him. Who knows?
The several repeated punches to the head, even after he was unconscious.
Yeah, that's how I like it. Makes him less responsive, but hey... Means I don't have to use my Bernard's watch. Oh, God. So, yeah, they fucking chat in the taxi. He gets to a phone booth and he makes a call and he's like, "Mom, Mom, you never guess what? I killed a guy." And she's like, "Oh, I'm so proud of you, boy. It's what your dad always wanted to do. Your dad killed so many guys in Vietnam. And every time he killed a guy, he sent me a packet of chocolates. I never ate any of them because they meant so much. I just kept them in a cupboard. And eventually they just turned to dust. A dust that ended up giving me lung cancer, but hey."
"That's a good story, Mom. I killed a guy, now I got $26 million.
Yeah. Oh, you can buy me some new lungs. I mean, how much do new lungs cost? $26 million.
This phone call is more of a goodbye phone call.
Yeah, I know you could really use that $26 million for your $26 million lungs, but I got things I need to buy. Like, I need to buy myself a shiny new pair of shoes. And that would obviously reduce my total amount from $26 million to $25 million, 900,000. And 52, and so I just can't afford to buy you any new lungs. So I'm very sorry, Mama, but I have to say goodbye. I also hope you had life insurance to pay for your funeral, because I can't dip into my shoe spending money to pay for this.
Did you do the math to work out how much those shoes are going to cost? Nearly $100,000.
Yeah, they are made of the finest, oh no, that's an awful joke. Anyways.
Oh God, I can only imagine.
But yeah, no, he makes a call to Gaia, who made like a ton of bets on with people, because word got out the Butch was going to go down in the fifth thing. So when he didn't, obviously, the odds went through the roof and shit, and he's got all his money to collect, and it's going to take about a day. So he goes back to the motel he's staying at with his fucking annoying girlfriend, whose name is like Fabian, but I'm going to call her Frisbee. Yeah. And then they fool around, and then they shower, and then they fall asleep. So yeah, the next morning they're like planning, they're like getting ready for their train trip out of there, and then Butch is looking for his dad's watch. And he's like, "Did you pack my watch, Frisbee?" And she's like, "Yes, it's in there. It's
in there. You packed my dad's ass?"
"Yes, of course. I packed his ass. I packed his colon. I packed his semicolon. I packed his apostrophe. I packed everything."
The question mark was a difficult one to fit in there.
"Yeah, but it's okay. I took the dollar off and put that in the back compartment, and then put the squiggly curvy bit in the other bit, and then it fit okay." "Why?" And he's like, "Because the fucking watch is not in here, bitch!" And she's like, "Oh no, I swear I put it in there." And he's like, "How sure? On a scale of 1 to 10. She's like, "10. And Vinny's like, "Okay, I'm going to ask you again, but slower. On a scale of 1 to 10, how sure are you that you put the watch in there?" And she's like, "Maybe a 5. And then he's like, "Okay, I'm going to ask you again a third time. And this time I want an exact, truthful response from you. On a scale of 1 to 10, how sure are you that you put the watch in the thing?" And then she's like, "Maybe a 0.5. And he's like, "But I fucking told you, but I fucking, the fucking, it was on the fucking kangaroo. And what the fucking." And she's like, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I was too busy, you know, doing things like looking at my belly in the mirror and wishing it looked different." And he's like, so he just throws a boomerang at her head.
The head falls to the ground. And he says, "Now that's that problem dealt with."
But no, he's like, "Fuck, I've got to go back to my apartment and get my dad's watch." So he does, and he's like in the drive over, he's like, "How could you fucking forget the one fucking thing I asked her for?" And he's appropriately mad, I think.
Yeah.
Because now it's just balls up everything. He drives back to his apartment, gets in there, finds his watch. And then he stops to make Pop-Tarts, and I was like, man, why?
Yeah, he just gets cocky, doesn't he? It seems like, why just because they're not there right at that moment doesn't mean that they're not about to arrive. And also, they are there at that very moment.
Exactly, because he spots a fucking shotgun on the thing and he's like, then he hears the toilet flush and John Trotter comes out of the loo and he's like, "Oh, fuck, man. I forgot to wipe." And then as the Pop-Tarts pop, so does the gun.
Yeah.
Bruce Willis shoots him dead. And so, yeah, so he quickly leaves, gets in his car, fucking stops at a red light, and Marcellus Wallace is crossing the road. And Marcellus sees him and he's like, motherfucker. And so, like, fucking Bruce runs him over, but then ends up crashing into like, another car.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then they both come to, then Marcellus chases after him.
A load of people swarm around and they're like, are you all right? Swarm around Marcellus, like, you're right, I saw him, that driver was a maniac. He just gets up, just ignores him, pulls a gun, and they're like, oh, shit.
Yeah, and he shoots some poor woman in her hip. Yeah. She's like, ah, I've been shot. Clever, just stop getting shot. Shot. So, fucking, yeah, Bruce Willis, like, they fucking have, like, a little chase, and then they end up in a pawn shop.
Yes, P-A-W-N. But also P-O-R-N.
Yes. But I feel like that kind of porn needs a, like, 3 exclamation marks after it. Yeah, so they start fighting, and then the guy behind the thing pulls out guns and is like, you two gonna stop fighting now.
You two gonna stop fighting now.
Yeah, you no fighting my shop. This is a respected establishment. Can you not see the flag on the wall, Confederate flag? I sell guns, Confederate flags, and lobsters. And then he knocks Bruce Willis out. And then he phones Zed. And he's like, the spider has caught some flies.
Yeah.
Then Zed's like, what?
Oh, I got a couple of guys for you to come and rape.
Yes. The margarine has caught some breadcrumbs. The sellotape has attached itself to the... Zed? God damn it, Zed! I told you not to hang up on me!
Not while I was doing my metaphors. Yeah. Sellotape has inexplicably got a couple of pubes stuck to it.
Yeah, the sellotape got the pube. Oh, fuck's sake. Damn it.
I'll tell him when he gets here.
So, Bruce Willis and Marcellus wake up in the back room of the shop, tied up and ball gagged, and Zed shows up. Zed, who is the fit guy, I think, from The Mask. I say I think because other people think he's gross looking, but I've always thought that he was just really hot.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Is he the guy in Silence of the Lambs? The villain?
What, Anthony Hopkins?
No, the one who keeps the woman in the hole. The one who's like...
Oh, no.
Is that a different guy?
Yeah. Yeah, this guy, I only know him from this and from The Mask. He plays the villain in The Mask.
Yeah.
Dorian. Super hot Dorian. Oh, anyway. But yeah, so they sit down. And I think he's a cop as well, because he's got like a badge on his shirt or something.
Yeah, he is.
And they're like, bring out the gimp. So they bring out the gimp from like a chest in another back room.
Yeah,
and
then
they're like, who should we do first?
Freaky shit.
Yeah. And then Dorian from The Mask picks... Marcellus Wallace.
Yeah.
Takes him out back. And then the gimp's told to watch Butch. And then you can hear fucking Zed, like, raping Marcellus in the back.
Yeah, this bit's just fucking harrowing, man.
But fucking Butch gets his superpowers and breaks out of the chair that he's strapped to and knocks out the gimp.
Yeah. Bruce escapes, and then the word gimp has been autocorrected to gump. So Bruce escapes, punches Gump,
and then knocks him out. I mean, he goes to leave, but then he can hear like the action still going on, and he's like, ah. So he goes back, tries to find a weapon, and then finds a samurai sword.
Like, really, really takes his time deciding on what weapon to bring down. No sense of urgency whatsoever.
In my mind, I always imagined that he just got a shotgun off the wall. That was like my memory. So when he picked for samurai sword, I was like, I have no memory of him doing that at all. Yeah, so then he fucking charges into the room. No, he doesn't charge, he sneaks into the room like a sneaky little sneak. And then he's all quiet and Zed's raping Marcellus. And then the other guy's like, oh yeah, fuck him. And then the other guy turns around and then Bruce Willis is like, stop!
Collaborate and listen.
I've got a samurai sword and it's glistening. I'm going to put it in your face. I'm going to pull it right down. I'm going to chop off your head. and pull out your crowns.
Nice, nice, baby.
But yeah, he slices the guy up and stabs him. And then Zed, like, stops and, like, backs against the wall. And there's a gun near Zed. And Bruce Willis is like, go on, pick up the gun, Zed. I dare you to. Go on, dear. And I'm like, if he does, he could very... Because it's not that far away. He could easily shoot you before you have time to do anything.
No, he couldn't. He couldn't pick up the gun, aim it and shoot it before Bruce has time to pull the trigger.
No, but Bruce hasn't got the trigger. He's got the fucking sword.
Oh, shit, yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right. I thought, in my head, he's aiming a gun at him. Yeah.
No, yeah, so it's while he's giving him the speech that Marcellus has gotten him free and picked up the shotgun that must have been in the room, and then he shoots Zed in the bollocks.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I've always wanted to see what a blown-off pair of bollocks look like. I'm so glad this day has finally come. I only wish I had my Kodak camera.
To record all of the events that have taken place here in this room.
Yeah, if I press the button in quick succession, it'd be like a flipbook. A bad flipbook, full of bad things, but a flipbook nonetheless. I probably would have had to change camera rolls quite soon after pressing the button. But if I had at least six, I reckon I could have got at least a minute of flipbookery. Anyway. So Bruce Willis is like, so what now? And then he's like, I'm going to call some people down. We're going to get a fucking some pliers and a blowtorch and do some medieval shit on this guy.
Yeah.
And then Bruce Willis is like, no, what about us? And then Marcellus is like, I told you, man, we can't be together. Just ain't the right time. It ain't the right place. We're at least 7 years away from Will and Grace. People just don't find gays funny yet. He's like, as far as I'm done, there is no me and you. Two conditions. One, you don't tell no one about this. No one. Two, you get out of here tonight and you never come back. LA is no longer... No, you've lost all of your LA privileges. And then Bruce goes and, like, Marcellus gives him, like, a wave. And then Bruce goes and he's somehow got Zed's keys, which I don't know when that happened. But he's got Zed's keys.
He finds
keys.
Them on the counter in the shop, doesn't he?
Well, that would make sense,
I think, guess. There's a little shot of him, like, finding them and being like, huh.
Ah, Zed's keys. Z's, even.
Z's keys.
Anyway, so fucking, he gets on the bike, drives back to his annoying girlfriend, and he's like, baby, we gotta go. Forget the bags, we're gonna miss our train otherwise. And then she's like, whose motorbike is this? And he's like, it's a chopper, baby. And she's like, whose chopper is this? He's like, it's Zed's. And she's like, who's Zed? And he's like, Zed's dead, baby. Zed's dead. She jumps in the back of the bike, hitches up her skirt so it flows in the wind and her vag gets some good airing out. And then they drive off out of the story and into the distance.
Yeah. And so that, chronologically, is like the last scene of the end of the film, I think. Because John Travolta's dead.
Yeah, so that is the end of the film. So we cut all the way back to the start with Samuel Jackson and John Travolta in the apartment, and there is another guy who is like in the apartment who shouldn't have been there, but he's a friend of Samuel Jackson's, and he's like cowering in the corner. Then this guy in the bathroom like runs out, who's been hiding, and then shoots at John Travolta and Samuel Jackson.
Wait, what was the thing about friend of Sam Jackson's?
Marvin, the guy in the corner.
Yeah.
He's he knows Samuel Jackson. That's why they take him with him. He was kind of just in the wrong place at the wrong time kind of thing.
Oh.
He's not, yeah.
Yeah, I never really understood, like, what that, who he is or why they bring him with him or why they don't kill him. And
well, yeah, because Vincent goes, is this guy, is he a friend of yours? And he goes, yeah, that's Marvin, leave him, blah, 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 blah. But then, so the guy comes running out of the bathroom, he's been hiding, shoots at Samuel and John, and completely misses them, even though, like, the bullet holes are, like, directly behind them, so, like, they should have got shot, but they weren't. And Samuel Jackson's like, man, this is, like, fucking, like, divine intervention, man. We should be dead right now, man. Oh, my God.
I felt the finger of God.
I felt the finger of God. I felt it go right up there, take a little tickle of my prostate, tell me it's enlarged, and come right back out. And that's a miracle, I'm telling you right now. And they're like, shit, man, let's just get in the car and go. So they take Marvin and get in the car. And the whole way, Samuel's like, man, that's it. I'm retiring.
You ever had a prostate exam from God, Marvin?
Yeah.
You know what it feels
like. Once
you've
had God's finger in your ass, you know you got to take a different path. I'll never pee the same again. From now on, my ejaculation shoe will be shining like pure gold. Because they've had God finger on there.
Yeah, God come.
God come.
Silence in the car.
I mean, he's like, no, it's okay. Mia Wallace said that silences are good and they're comfortable. And if everyone is good enough friends, that means that a silence means that we're all best friends. So that means that we can all be best friends. Even you, Marvin. And he turns around and accidentally shoots Marvin in the face.
I'm my new best friend.
Oh, God. It really feels like I just shot my best friend. Oh, no. He can't speak. His brain's all over the window. It's dribbling down the seat now. A bad bet that really hurt. Oh. And then Samuel Jackson just puts his mouth. I was going to say puts his hand over John Travolta's mouth. But if he puts his mouth over John Travolta's mouth.
They're just kissing.
Just is like kisses him. And he's like, baby, just stop talking. We got a body in the back and blood on our hands. And I'm a black man driving this car, so we're going to get stopped. So we need to find cover.
Yeah.
So Samuel calls up a friend of his who lives nearby, and so they can park in his garage.
Yes.
So get cleaned up and go talk to his friend who is fucking called Jimmy, and he's actually Quentin Tarantino, who's a bad actor. He's like, man, I got the dead M-word in my fucking garage and my wife is going to be home in 90 minutes. And what do you think she's going to do when I got a dead M-word in my garage? She's going to effing divorce me, man. Blah, blah, blah. And it's like, man, I'm so sorry. And it's like, his wife coming home is such a big deal. And it's like, oh, okay. So they're like, don't worry, we're going to sort this shit. So fucking Samuel makes some calls.
Yeah, calls Marcellus, who has not yet been sodomized.
Anyway, yeah, Marcellus is like, man, don't worry, I'm going to send the wolf. And then Samuel's like, man, you're sending the wolf? Man, if you just said that in the first place, man, that's cool. Everything's cool.
Man. That's cool, man, you said it the pub. Shit.
The fucking the wolf shows up and he's like, oh,
it's like, oh, I see.
Okay, well, just let him put him in the car and he'll eat what's left of Marvin, lick the entire thing clean, and then we just let him go. Or shoot him in the head. He's a menace to society, as all wolves are.
Then if any cops ask, we'll just say that all the blood is the wolf's blood. We shot it because it's a menace to society.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
Perfect idea. If we shoot the wolf in the car after he's finished cleaning, eating the body, then the blood would just look like the wolf's blood. In fact, why don't we just blow up the car?
I mean, they do get it crushed.
They do. Which is kind of like the perfect way to get rid of it, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. But don't anyone get any ideas? Anyway, so fucking the wolf shows up and it's Harvey Keitel and he's like, right, so as I understand, we've got 40 minutes until Bonnie comes home, who's your wife and you love her and you love her so much that even though she's potentially black, you still like using the M-word. Anyway, so let's you clean this thing and you clean that thing and then we'll take the car out of here and we'll take it to a crush yard. So they do all that, change clothes. Into dork clothes, which were actually Quentin Tarantino's clothes.
Yeah, not before getting hosed down, like the prison yard.
Yeah. And I was like, man, that hose must have been cold.
That hose must have been so cold. Oh my God.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I'm so uncomfortable. They fucking get to the crush yard. The car's taken care of. They say, thank you, Mr. Wolf, for not turning around by the time I crept up to you from behind. Oh, do you remember that game?
What? No.
Oh
wait,
okay.
The Mr. Wolf game.
Yeah.
Yeah, sort of.
Yeah. It was also called something else, like Grandma's Footsteps or something. Or like you were the grandma and you had to creep up on the wolf before the wolf turned. if the wolf turned around and saw you moving, then you were out. So you had to try and get all the way up to the wolf without them seeing you moving.
Yeah, but it's one of those games where it's just like, I saw you. No, you didn't. Yes, I did. Those kinds of arguments.
Yeah.
It's just like...
We should play that when we have a party next.
Yeah, all right. I'm sure everyone will be up for that.
I think they will be. If people get drunk enough, I think that'd be awesome. As long as it doesn't interfere with the music. Anyway, so... they're like, oh, goodbye, Mr. Wolf. And he's like, goodbye, take care. So yeah, they get a fucking cab to a restaurant because it's breakfast time and they need to get something to eat. They end up at the fucking diner where we were at the beginning.
Yeah, with Tim Roth and woman.
Yes, Honey Bunch or Honey Buns or Honey Nut Cheerios. So yeah, Joss Stone. What's his name? Jonathan Ross? Not Jonathan Ross. John Travolta and Samuel Jonathan Jackson. Ross. Yeah, they're having a conversation, and I was going to try and do an impression of Jonathan Ross, and I was like, where would I begin?
Well, it's a pretty obvious place to begin and do an impression of Jonathan Ross.
He's like, oh, is that, like, ugh, yeah, let me not pronounce R's,
yeah.
But other than that, like, but yeah, they have a conversation, and Samuel was like, man, no, I swear, I've had a moment of clarity and I'm going to give this up. I'm going to call Marcellus today, say I'm giving up my job and I'm going to roam the earth and I'm going to look for a job where I can fulfill my dreams like Jesus wanted me to.
Give everybody's mother a foot massage.
Yeah, I'm going to become a foot massagist.
But only for mothers.
Yeah, and only on Mother's Day. So I better work damn quick if I want to make enough money to last a whole damn year. But in England, they celebrated on a different day. So that's 2 days I can do work.
You just gotta pay for the flights.
Damn it.
It's gonna be some expensive foot massages.
Unless I just swim across the Atlantic, I'm sure that if I put myself inside a Zorbin ball, I can run my way across there like a hamster would. And then John Travolta's like, oh, I need to take a shit. And he goes to the bathroom. And then that's when there was... like the stand up in shoes.
Yes.
Is it the stand up? Is that what you call it?
Stick up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he sticks the place up and then a standoff happens.
That's it.
I think mixed it up, stick up and standoff.
Yeah. This is a stick up, stick up. He needs that bags for that money. And he gets to Samuel Jackson. Samuel Jackson puts his wallet in. And he's got the briefcase.
Yeah.
With him from earlier.
And he's like, and you can see the uncertainty.
Yeah.
He's like, but I need to fuck, I can't just not fuck with this guy. He's got to save face almost.
Yeah. And Tim Roth's hand over the briefcase and he's like, I'm sorry, but I can't do that, man. You see, something, something, something. And I went through a hell of a lot of shit today to get hold of this briefcase and it don't belong to me. And then Tim Roth's like, I open that fucking briefcase or I'm going to unload this gun in your face on the count of three. So he goes 3, 2, 1. And then he does and he opens it. And then, whatever gold, shiny thing is inside, Tim Roth sees, and he's like, wow, is that what I think it is? And Samuel's like,
You know it.
This is a world-class foot massager. You see, you put the foot in it, you press the button, it does it all by itself. And Tim Roth's like, wow.
It's the secret to my success. It's how I can only afford to only work one day a year.
Yeah. But it's okay if you put it on a vagina, it can do the same as cunnilingus. You've got to adjust some of the attachments, of course, but, you know.
Don't want to go giving your girl's vagina a foot massage now, do you?
You don't want to be putting cheese on the fucking fish cracker. And then...
That's two separate courses, Tim.
And as Tim Roth is looking at it, he grabs Tim Roth and points his own gun in Tim Roth's face. He's like, sit down, motherfucker. Now I'm going to help you. Normally, me and my associate, and he looks over and fucking John Travolta has come out of the toilet pointing his gun at Honey Bunny. And he's like, everyone's going to be cool, bitch, be cool. Tell your bitch to be cool. And he's like, Honey Bunny, be cool. And he's like, tell her to be cool. He's like, I'm telling her to be cool. She being cool. And then he's like, I'm going to give you a chance. Normally I would have shot the fuck out of you, but I'm going to help you today. I'm on a new path, and I'm going to let you go. See, there's this quote I always used to say. It used to go, a stitch in time saves nine. And now I know what that really means. It means that I'm the stitch, and you're the nine. And if I'd got to you in time, I would have saved you being nine, and you could have been one. So I'm going to let you go being one. A complete person. You understand what I'm saying? And he's like, sure.
Yeah, sure.
And like, I got another saying too. It's called the early bird catches the worm. Now I might be the bird, you might be the worm. Or you could be the worm and I could be the bird. But I'm going to choose to be the bird today. And I'm not going to catch you. I'm going to give you a second chance. All I want is my wallet back. Anyway, so yeah, he gives Tim Roth all the money from the wallet and says, here, have this. I'm giving you this money so I don't have to kill you. But he says, I'm trying to be a different man. I'm trying to be a man who rubs feet and doesn't shoot people.
And maybe something about being a shepherd.
Yeah. If I can be a shepherd of feet, if I can be a foot shepherd. Foot shepherdry. How would that work? Not shepherd, sorry. I meant chiropodist. There we go.
I'm trying real hard, Ringo, to be the chiropodist.
That's what I'm gonna be. That's a full-time job. That's a whole year of work every year. Bank holidays off and Christmas. And I get to rub feet all day long. That's what I'm gonna do.
Do you understand what I'm saying, Ringo?
Yeah. Anyway, you get yourself out of here, you crazy cat.
Buy yourself something nice.
Yeah. In fact, buy yourself an appointment at my new chiropodry. It's called Juice's Foot Touching. We fix feet while you sit in our seat. That's our slogan. You ask me to change it, I'll shoot you in your fucking face. Anyway, so Tim and his girlfriend go, and then Jules and Vincent say we should probably get out of here as well.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, so they put their guns in their trunks, and then they go. And then from this, they would have gone to the bar where Butch is having his conversation with Marcellus Wallace.
Yeah.
But this is where the film ends.
The film ends.
Yes. I feel like my fiction has been thoroughly pulped.
I feel like my pulp has been fictioned.
So, without further ado, I've been Gifton.
And I've been Tom.
And Foot has been Foot.
Ha.
Massage. Duh.
My mother put massage.